Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 constitute what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus talked to His disciples and the multitude that had gathered around Him. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 5, Jesus said this, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, you go into your room. When you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation." And that verse should read, "And Father, do not let us be led into temptation," because James chapter 1 clearly says that God does not tempt anyone. "Do not let us be led into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Then Jesus said in verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." A Methodist pastor by the name of Walt Everett had a son who worked as a pizza deliverer in Bridgeport, Connecticut. One night, his son had a delivery to make at a local apartment house. When he approached the apartment where the delivery was to be made, a young man rushed out of a nearby apartment brandishing a gun. And during the robbery, that's what he was intending to do, was rob that deliverer. During the robbery, shots were fired, and the young man, the preacher's son, fell to the ground, mortally wounded. The robber was a drug addict whose name was Michael. The reason for the crime was the usual where drugs are concerned. Michael needed money to support his diabolical habit. He was arrested, and later, after a brief trial, he was sent to prison. Now, listen to this. Walt Everett began to visit Michael regularly while he was in prison. And through talking to the young man, he got to know him in a very personal way. One day, Pastor Everett looked at Michael, and here's what he said. "I want you to know that I have forgiven you for taking my son's life." Now, while talking later on to a group of fellow pastors, Walt Everett said that even though he had already forgiven Michael for killing his son, it had taken some time for him to say those words face to face to that young man. Michael was eventually paroled. Walt Everett spoke at his parole hearing and suggested that he be given the parole. Incidentally, Michael became a Christian while he was there in prison. Now, unfortunately, Walter Everett's wife did not feel the same way. She was not willing to forgive Michael for taking her son's life. The result was that her husband and her ended up in a divorce. Although there were other problems with the marriage, Those who knew the couple said that her husband's forgiveness of Michael was the last straw. Now, in his book, Forgiveness, Dr. Charles Stanley, who's now with the Lord, you can hear him every Sunday morning, he said that a person who harbors unforgiveness always loses. Regardless of how wrong the other person may have been, refusing to forgive means reaping corruption in life. Now, although forgiveness is the solemn obligation of every Christian, many Christians, many believers, are operating on the basis of the philosophy of the world rather than on the indisputable teaching of God's Word. They're not willing to forgive. And the consequences are devastating. They are devastating for individual believers, and they are also devastating for churches where those believers are members, because the Holy Spirit cannot operate in the midst of sin that's going on in the body of Christ. And the consequences of their failure, as I said, are devastating. The truth is, believers who are not willing to forgive those who have hurt and offended them are living under the curse of unforgiveness. They're paying a high price for their unwillingness to forgive others, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven them. To begin with, the unforgiving are paying a high price spiritually. Let me say this to you. You're a Christian. You know the Lord. You're here in the auditorium or you're viewing this message. If you are allowing unforgiveness to reside in your heart right now, I must tell you that you are totally out of the will of God. You're not going to be able to pray effectively. You're not going to serve the Lord effectively. You're not going to minister to others effectively. You're grieving the Holy Spirit, because you are allowing the flesh to dominate your life. Listen to what Paul wrote in the book of Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh reaps corruption. But the one who sows in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, the word corruption in this verse has to do with ruin, with destruction. When a Christian is not willing to forgive an offender, that believer is wrecking his own life and inviting the judgment of Holy God. Now, don't forget the parable that Jesus told. A parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus often taught in parables. And don't forget the parable of the unmerciful servant. It underscores the truth that God will not allow unforgiveness to go unpunished. There was a king who evidently had a cash flow problem and decided to collect the debts that were owed to him. Now, he had his records brought to him, and when he began to study his records, he found that one of his servants owed him 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents may not mean anything to you, but I'll tell you this. In today's terminology, that is at least $10 million. So the servant was called before the king. The king said to him, "You owe me this debt, and it's time for you to pay up." Now, because the servant didn't have the money to pay the debt, the king issued an order. Sell him. Sell his wife. Sell his children. Sell all of his possessions, and bring the money you get back to me. The servant fell on his knees in tears and began begging the king for mercy. "Please, my Lord, be patient with me, and I promise you that I will pay you every cent that I owe. Well, there was no way that servant could ever pay back such a massive debt. Fortunately for him, his plea, desperate as it was, touched the king's heart. Jesus said, and his master's heart was moved with compassion. He looked at the man and he said, you are free to go. I am here and now forgiving you for the entire debt. You owe me nothing from this moment on. Now, the story should have ended there on a joyful note, but it didn't. For there was a fellow servant who owed the unmerciful servant a debt of a small sum of money, about $20. Now, what is a mere $20 compared to $10 million? Even the words chicken feed, don't do justice in comparing the difference between the two debts. But when the unmerciful servant located his debtor, he grabbed him around the throat. Pay me what you owe me, and I want it here right now. The man fell down and begged for mercy. Just give me some more time, and I will pay everything to you that I owe. Now, folks, we who are the forgiven are to be the forgivers. But not this ungodly man. He answered angrily, no way I'm going to give you more time. And he had him thrown into prison until the $20 debt would be paid. Now, when the king found out about what had taken place, he couldn't believe what he was hearing. He did what to that servant who owed him $20? He said, find him and tell him I want to see him immediately. So the unmerciful servant stood once again before the king. And he heard these chilling words. You are a wicked servant. I forgave and canceled all the huge debt you owed me because you pleaded with me to do so. Shouldn't you have had pity and mercy on your fellow servant and forgiven him his tiny little debt? And the king then gave this order. Take this man out of my sight. Turn him over to the tormentors until he's paid everything he owes me. Jesus ended that parable with this statement. So shall my heavenly Father deal with every one of you if you do not open up your hearts and freely forgive your brothers for the offenses they commit against you. Now, Christian, it may be that someone owes you a real debt. I mean, they have done a real wrong to you. But here's the way it is. Forgive the debt, the wrong, and be in the will of God. If you do not forgive the wrong, you're not going to be in His will. And know this, unforgiveness is always, always going to cost you a lot more than forgiveness ever will. Remember that Jesus said the unforgiving must become the unforgiven. If you don't forgive, you're going to be in that class of the unforgiven. Now, His exact words to His disciples were these. If you're not willing to forgive others, then understand this. Neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. So I ask you this question, my friend. Do you want God to forgive you? Then you be certain that there's nobody that you hold anything against. You be certain that you forgive others. No matter what was done. You know, forgiveness must be given in order for us to be right with God. Let God take care of the other person. You just be sure that you get right with God by practicing forgiveness. Now, let me assure you that when Jesus spoke about forgiving in order to be forgiven, now He was not implying that the presence of unforgiveness in a believer's heart puts his salvation or her salvation in jeopardy. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I hope all of you have, and that goes for those of you viewing this message, and if you haven't, I pray you will today. But when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Holy God marked the debt of your sins, paid in full forever. I mean, you became His child, and nothing is ever going to change that fact. But we must all understand that relationship and fellowship, that they are not one and the same. There can be a relationship with the Lord, but you're out of fellowship with Him. You can have a relationship with other people, but no fellowship with them because of unforgiveness. Now, although God's forgiveness to us, it's granted eternally, although His unconditional love for us can never be diminished, although His grace extended to us can never be stifled, we can never walk with Him in sweet fellowship if we're unforgiving toward others. As the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, those believers who will not forgive pay a high spiritual price because unforgiveness invariably leads to spiritual bondage. Satan is relentlessly trying to get ground in a Christian's life. Well, his goal never changes. He wants to build spiritual strongholds that will destroy a Christian's testimony and ministry. And based on my years of counseling with people, I assure you that Satan often does his dirtiest work in the area of unforgiveness. I never counsel with people spiritually that we don't look at several areas to begin with, and unforgiveness is one of them, because you can't be free in Christ if you harbor unforgiveness in your heart. Many believers have allowed a spirit of unforgiveness to move in and to operate in their lives. I mean, there's been a wrong committed, no doubt about that. The wrong creates a sense of rejection. It creates that rejection in the heart of the one who's been offended. Rejection left unchecked births unforgiveness. Unforgiveness left unchecked creates a root of bitterness. And a root of bitterness leads to demonic bondage, which, if left unchecked, leads to inevitable destruction. I read about a Christian woman who was in the hospital years ago. Her friend was Corrie Ten Boom, that great Christian from Holland who was put into concentration camp because she and her sister and their father hid Jews in their home so the Nazis could not arrest and exterminate them. And Corrie Ten Boom was called the Tramp for the Lord because she went all over the world preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. She went to visit this woman in the hospital, her friend, and she could see immediately that she was very ill. But she also noticed something else about the lady. There was an expression of bitterness on her friend's face. The woman said to Corrie, "I know that I will be ill for a long time. The doctor does not give me any hope that I can do my work for a long time to come. My husband did not like having a sick wife. He left me. And now he lives with a younger woman. He never comes to see me." Corrie asked her this, "Have you forgiven him?" The response was immediate. No, I certainly have not. Corey said, well, let me tell you what took place in my life. She then recounted how bitterly she felt toward a German nurse who had hurt her so very deeply by being so cruel to her sister Betsy while they were imprisoned in Ravensbrück concentration camp. For lack of proper care, Betsy died in the concentration camp. Incidentally, as a side note, Corrie ten Boom was released just a few days before all the women in her age were exterminated. Corrie was speaking in a meeting there in Germany. She went back to Germany to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while she was speaking, she looked out on the crowd, and what did she see? That nurse was sitting out there in attendance. That nurse who had been so cruel. And she said, a feeling of bitterness, almost hatred, came into my heart. How my dying sister Betsy had suffered because of this nurse. The moment I felt hatred in my heart, I knew that I myself had no forgiveness. I knew I had to forgive her, but I could not. Yet, folks, Corey got right with God, and Corey did forgive her. As a matter of fact, she phoned the nurse and asked her to come back to the meeting the next evening. The lady was surprised by the invitation, but she came. Corrie ten Boom expressed forgiveness to that nurse for the wrong that had been done to her and to her sister. And that nurse trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior right there and right then. After telling this story, Corrie looked at her sick friend and she said this, you are bitter about your husband, but claim Romans 5:5. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I know that you love the Lord Jesus, she said to her. You've known Him for a long time. Trust Him to do the miracle of bringing so much of God's love into your heart that you can forgive your husband. Corrie then prayed and left the room. A week later, she returned for another visit. Corrie said, when I saw her, I knew that God had done something in her heart. Her friend said, I am absolutely free. The Lord has done in me such a tremendous miracle, and I have forgiven my husband. You know, now there's great peace and great joy in me. Now, in sharing this experience, Corrie ten Boom said, yes, we never touch the ocean of God's love so much as when we love our enemies. It is a joy to accept forgiveness, but it is almost a greater joy to give forgiveness. Christian, don't keep living out of the will of God because there's someone you don't want to forgive. By the grace of God, forgive that person and move on with your life. Now, not only are the unforgiving paying a high price spiritually, they are also paying a high price in the second place emotionally. Listen, unforgiving people are emotional wrecks. They are literally being eaten up inside by anger, by hatred, and bitterness. Well, there have been people who've been hospitalized because of mental breakdowns, and unforgiveness has been the culprit. When unforgiveness dwells in a person's heart, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no satisfaction. The unforgiver is held captive by catastrophic emotions that would disappear instantaneously if only three simple But powerful words were spoken. I forgive you. I forgive you. Now, several couples from several churches, several different churches, decided to gather together one night each week and study the subject, the heart of the problem. During the first session, the leader of the group made this statement. If sin is your problem, there is no human remedy. One young woman named Meg became very upset over what was said. She told her husband, I am not going back to that meeting. Sin is not my problem. Her husband encouraged her not to return. After all, she was a victim. She had been sinned against as a little girl. Meg had been sexually abused repeatedly by members of her own family. She was a victim of incest. Meg could not understand how anyone could be so cold and uncaring to insinuate that sin would be her problem. She had been seeing a psychiatrist for 7 years. She was taking medication that kept her asleep for most of the time. Now the other couple stayed in the group, and when the study was finished, one of the ladies from one of the churches decided to start another group with ladies from her church. Meg enrolled in the same study. However, this time she didn't quit. She stayed with it. Now when a group reached the chapter dealing with forgiveness, the Lord began to deal with Meg's heart. He showed her that she was angry, resentful, bitter, and unforgiving. And her heart began to break. Oh, when the Holy Spirit begins to convict. And how we need the Spirit's conviction in all of our lives. We need Him to break that proud and stiff-necked eye. To help us to bow in prayer and die to ourselves so that Jesus can be the Lord of our lives. So she asked God to forgive her. She asked Him to cleanse her. She asked Him to fill her with His love and with His joy and with His peace and with His forgiveness. She went back to her psychiatrist, and he was the first one to ask, what happened to you? You look different. Well, Meg truly did look different because she was different. She was so different. Listen to this. She was so different when the leader of the original group, who she dropped out of because he had said, if sin is your problem, there's no human remedy. He had to ask, who is that lady? How surprised he was to learn that it was the same Meg who had gotten so offended with him. My friend, if unforgiveness is your problem today, God has a remedy for it. Repent. What's repent mean? Turn from where you've been and turn to the Lord. Repent. Confess your sinfulness and the Lord will do an emotional healing in your life. In the third place, the curse of unforgiveness. The unforgiving pay a high price physically. Medical science has left no doubt about that whatsoever. I mean, you hold on to unforgiveness and it will eventually destroy your well-being. There was a woman who had been wronged by a member of her family. Year after year went by and she continually refused to forgive the one who had hurt her, even though that person sought reconciliation. This lady was so consumed by a spirit of unforgiveness that it finally ruined her health. She died at a relatively young age, and the doctors could find no apparent cause for her death. In the words of the writer who told the story of this lady, her inability to forgive destroyed her ability to live. She said, a lack of forgiveness is a terrible thing, particularly when it occurs within the context of a family. Now, my friend, let me ask you this. How healthy are you today? Well, let me put it in a different way. How forgiving are you today? Not one person listening to this message has to live under the deadly curse of unforgiveness. You don't have to be the prisoner of an unforgiving spirit. You possess the power to forgive as a Christian. If you don't know Christ, then you belong to the enemy to start with. You need to repent today and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, wherever you are, whatever you're doing at this moment. But as a Christian, you don't have to be the prisoner of an unforgiving spirit. You possess the power to forgive. So by the grace of God, do what needs to be done. You can choose to forgive the individual who hurt you, and you can be delivered from the curse of unforgiveness. You can be set free today to live your life to the fullest. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now I want to give you the chance to trust Jesus if you've never done so. I want to help you to pray, whether you're here in the auditorium or viewing this message on Facebook or YouTube. The Holy Spirit has convicted you in your heart of your need to trust Christ. Then pray this prayer with me real quietly. Pray these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I've sinned in the sight of Holy God many, many, many times. But right here and right now, Jesus, I repent. I turn away from sin and I turn to You. Jesus, I open the door to my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive me for all of my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior. From this day forth, Jesus, by Your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will live for You as the Lord of my life. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank You, Jesus, for paying the penalty for all of my sins. Thank You, Jesus, for coming into my heart and giving me the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer, the miracle of the new birth just occurred within you. And I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Nobody else is looking around. Just lift your hand and say, Pastor, I did. I ask Christ into my heart. I ask Him into my heart. I know most of you here know the Lord. I know there are those of you out there, wherever you are in the world today, prayed that prayer. I want to encourage you to find a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church and follow the Lord in the act of obedience. For a new believer, that's baptism. Now I want to do one other thing. If you know you've got unforgiveness in your heart, I want to help you pray and get that broken. So pray this with me quietly, Christian, right where you are. Father, I know that I have unforgiveness in my heart today toward, and put that person's name out, toward, name that person. And Father, right here and right now, I ask You to deliver me. I ask You to forgive me. And by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I'll write a letter, make a phone call, or visit, whatever it takes, to say the words, I forgive you, to the individual who's offended me and hurt me. Thank You, Father, for Your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you be seated for a moment? I'm going to come down, then we're going to give our invitation here. You walk over here to the rails, and when I've stood up so long, the old knee acts up just a little bit. But the day will come. I've got a friend who had both his knees replaced, and he said to me recently, I don't feel anything anymore. I don't even know they were ever replaced. So I'm going to get there. But when I stand up for about half an hour, it comes. Somebody asked me, can you climb stairs? Yeah, I climb the stairs over here in the other building just for practice, up there where we used to have GBA prayer meeting. All right, now, if you made a decision here this morning, I'll let you sit down. But we've got an invitation, don't we, Sherry? All right, and take up the cross and follow me. Let's stand together again. I'll let you be seated too quickly. This church stands up an awful lot, that's for sure. Let's sing. If you need to come forward, you come on right now.